Well, good morning again. What to do when friends let you down? That verse Lynn read early on, Psalm 55. It is not an enemy who taunts me, I could bear that. It is not my foes who so arrogantly insult me, I could have hidden from them. Instead, it is you, my equal, my companion, my close friend. We've all been there. We've got a fantastic relationship, friendship with somebody, energizing, lasting, and unbreakable, until eventually cracks start to appear or it spectacularly explodes. Well, you're in good company this morning. We've seen it in our celebrities, looking so pretty together, and all of a sudden it all breaks through. The Bible, of course, is no different. Samson and Delilah, betrayal. Paul and Barnabas, they both had differing views of John Mark, and they split. Abraham and Lot feuded. The world wasn't big enough to hold them both in the same square mile. Cain and Abel through jealousy. And of course, we know spectacularly Joseph and his brothers through envy. In my life, I've had two relationships that have ended in disaster. Well, three, of course, really. But I think Linda and I, our journey is perhaps a story all on its own. So I won't go into that in too much detail. Of course, we're all glad that we're not celebrities, so all our failings are fodder for the world's media. I thought long and hard about doing this one, for obvious reasons, but I've decided you're all friendly enough for me to open up. The first relationship that went spectacularly wrong was a very, very long time ago when I was at school. I thought it was a protective, encouraging and building relationship. It quickly turned into an abusive relationship throughout all of my secondary school years, hence my constant truancy. The second relationship was rather recently. Someone who I always considered my most trusted and dearest friend, a Jonathan and David kind of relationship. That when it went spectacularly wrong, ended up me coming here, saying, I'm never getting involved, so there. And as you can see, that didn't turn out right either. I do have to say, John's talk on forgiveness a few weeks ago is why I'm standing up here talking to you today. Because in that, healed me tremendously. I would say, go back and listen to it and watch it again. It's well worth a second view. A pivotal verse for me, though, was in Luke 6, 27 to 28. But you who are willing to listen, now there's the rub, isn't it? I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who hurt you. So what do we do when friends let us down? Firstly, it's blooming hard. I kicked, screamed, stamped my feet. Now there's a picture, isn't it? Stamping your feet at God. I told him I'm never going to forgive. No, not never. So four things God has shown this petulant, stubborn, pig-headed bloke that may be useful to you too. Firstly, express the pain. Back in the days when spanking was allowed and encouraged, I'd always say to Dad, that didn't hurt. It blooming did. And we do the same thing. Oh, it doesn't hurt me. Oh, it doesn't affect me. When it really does. We bottle up our pain. Let me tell you, you are allowed to shout, and you're allowed to stamp your feet, and you're allowed to say, this hurts, I don't like it. Yet we feel we have to stay silent, especially as Christians. David, though, shows us it's okay to let it out. In Psalm 6, he cries, my bed is flooded with tears. And more dramatically, in Psalm 13, he shouts to God, hey, you, listen to me. Restore the sparkle in my eyes. Psychology papers, one after another, tell us, don't hide your feelings, otherwise you'll be ill. I certainly found that out to my cost. You know, I went to Harn Hill, which is Christian retreat center in Cirencester. While I was there, I had a session, and they asked me just to do that, to let it out. So I stamped my feet. I do a lot of stamping of feet. I punched the air, and I cried. And when I finished, it felt really good. They prayed with me and held my hand and read Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. I was told, and this is what we need to hear, it isn't wrong to be angry and hurt. The problems come with how we express it and how we react. Having that safe environment to unburden everything and to shout and kick and scream with somebody there was very beneficial. It was so free to express that pain. For me, things weren't resolved, but I did feel an awful lot better. Second thing I've learnt over this little journey was to change perspective. This was another I won't moment. I do a lot of I won'ts. I won't. But I was encouraged to see things from the other people's point of view. As far as I was concerned, I was in the right and they were in the wrong. So seeing it from their point of view just confirms I'm in the right. I did say earlier on about being petulant and stubborn. But what I found out that was quite shocking, I'm not always right, apparently. I know. It was a shock to me as well. When Linda and I ran a 12-step recovery group, there was a saying, hurt people hurt people. Until we walk in someone else's shoes and see their pain, we can't fully understand or appreciate how or why they've reacted or acted as they have done. Whilst there are other mitigating factors in my own journey, I now understand a little bit of why the second relationship ended as it did, and the factors that made up his decisions and judgments. I don't have to like them, or even accept them, but I do kind of understand. I don't understand why a teacher would be abusive, and I may never understand that. And I don't have to accept it. Matthew 7 says this. Why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own? You hypocrite. First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. That was a hard passage for me to read, because I thought it was all their fault. This was God giving me a gentle reminder. Although he holds no things against me, he was just giving me a gentle prod. So, you've never hurt anyone then, Duncan. We need to open our eyes and see what's really around us. And see not just our pain, but the pain of those who are inflicting it. Hurt people hurt people. Third thing that I fell into a trap rather early, and I'm very glad I've got Linda to help me realise that sometimes I'm a bit of a numpty, really. Don't set up camp. What do I mean by that? We fall into a trap when relationships fail and people let us down. I'm going to tell everyone what you've done to me. We do this, of course, not to protect others, but to validate our own point of view and how I am feeling. And of course, if they don't like you now, that's a bonus. Because we're human beings, aren't we? I wanted to splash across Facebook how I was treated. I wanted to point fingers. But Linda and I decided that silence was golden. We agreed that we wouldn't say anything unless it was important for someone else to know, as we did when we sat down with Lou and Steve when we thought about joining this church. Then, as now, we have to be careful to say, this is our point of view, go and speak to the other person, because they may have a different view. when Linda and I divorced, and some of you know our story, we have been married since, we had a conscious decision that our children weren't ammunition. We agreed we wouldn't say anything derogatory about each other in their presence. We agreed that we wouldn't interrogate them either. Oh, what's Mum doing? Oh, where's Dad taking you? We didn't want them to have to pick sides. We should not either create or join a side. And it's hard, isn't it? It really is hard. I've seen it destroy otherwise good relationships, and I've seen it split churches. In our hurt and disappointment, we can inadvertently draw people close to us who sympathise with our pain and our suffering. And without realising it, we've created a camp. And so we tried our best not to create a Duncan camp. We see in Acts 15 just how corrosive that is. Paul and Barnabas have a differing opinion over John Mark. And because they can't settle it, they have to go their separate ways. How sad that is, isn't it? When people are forced apart because they're in my camp and not somebody else's camp. Matthew 18 says this: if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offence. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Brilliant, isn't it? But if you're unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything that you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then, if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat the person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Rightly so, the last stage was going public. And that isn't you, that's the church leadership. We ought to go privately before we go publicly. And believe me, that's hard. The fourth thing that I've learned is to forgive. Yes, you've guessed it. I won't, I won't, I won't. How sad I was when I went to this church, came to this church, first of all, when you were over in the school. And I sat down and I thought, I'm not getting involved. I'm just going to come, and I'm just going to sit. I might smile now and again. I'm not going to talk to anybody. And then when it's gone, I'm out. Who was the idiot there? You don't have to raise your hands, by the way. Colossians 13 says, make allowances for each other's faults and forgive one another who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Please go back and listen to John's talk on forgiveness. It really is rather good. And personally, for me, it was so brilliant. So here's where God and I had another little discussion. I said, I'm not. God said, you ought to. I said, I shan't. God said, you should. I said, over my dead body. God said, no, Duncan, over mine. Mark 11 says, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've got it, it's yours. And here's the rider. But when you are praying, you first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins. For me, it became pretty clear, and it was re-emphasized in John's talk, I had a responsibility to forgive. We used to teach in Celebrate Recovery that unforgiveness chains you to that other person. And forgiveness breaks the chains and sets you free. So we have to forgive. And it's hard. It's very hard. It doesn't justify their actions. They don't get off scot-free. and we don't have to even continue in a relationship with them. But we are free and we can move on. I had to forgive my abuser too. I had to give evidence in court and he was convicted, sentenced to 6 years in prison. I went into Gloucester Prison when it was a prison. I looked him in the eye and I forgave him. It was the second most hardest and most painful sentence I've ever said. And I won't even tell you what the first one was. He still had to do his time, but I was free. I was free from the shame, I was free from the guilt, I was free from the nightmares, but also free to stand up and say, this is what happened to me. And I'm not ashamed. As a consequence, I've had the privilege of being able to sit alongside others and help them. I want this to be my new spiritual home. I want to be useful and to serve, but I can't do it filled with hate and anger. Just as I shared a few weeks ago, cancer was eating me away. So in the same way, unforgiveness is a cancer. It invades our hearts. It invades our minds. It makes us do crazy things. It invades our soul. It invades our emotions. It has physical side effects too. It makes us tired and sick. Unforgiveness is pervasive. Unforgiveness corrupts us. All I wanted to do was to continue hating. What sort of a goal for life is that? That you just want to keep hating? And that's what I wanted to do. Until John's talk opened the light and the chink in this armor that I built around me. Forgiveness is the key to helping us move on. Without it, we'll stop and we'll just be prisoners. So those are areas that help us to understand a little bit and appreciate what happens when friends let us down. But maybe there's things that we can do to prevent that in the first place. Firstly, don't put people on a pedestal. In a position of infallibility. That's what I did. Often they don't want to be there either. Keep our expectations realistic. And remember, we are human too. And we are prone to mistakes. Secondly, here's a thing that got me. It takes two to fall out. As I've been preparing this talk this week, I've realised that yes, probably, I'm not always the easiest person to get along with. And I have to remember that it's not 100% always them. Thirdly, this is the most important thing. Hurt people hurt people. So how am I going to respond when I'm hurt? Well, it's a choice kind of a thing. Do I grab the pitchfork, build barriers and repel all borders? Or do I look to see the pain where I can soothe instead of inflame? So maybe you are where I was. Maybe you've already been through disappointments and being let down. Afterwards, when John is leading us in our last song, I'll sit over here. And if you want to come and pray and talk, it's good to talk. I found that out. It's good to pray, even better. And we can do that. I was saying to John last week, I was struggling to how to wrap this up. And I thought, oh, I know. The prayer of St. Francis. We all know that one, don't we? Make me a channel of your peace. Who's heard of that one? Yeah, it's a brilliant one, isn't it? So as I was faffing around on Tinternet, there was this blogger came to mind. A guy called Brian Herzog. That's a name and a half to conjure up, isn't it? And he's put a new twist on this prayer. Let me read it to you. Please let all of me be an instrument of peace in this world, so that wherever I go, if I encounter hate, allow me to be a source of love. If I am wronged by others, let me forgive those who have wronged me. Where I encounter doubt, let me inspire faith in others with my bravery. Where I find sadness and despair, let me be a source of joy and hope, like a single light illuminating a dark room. I ask for the strength to console others more than I want to be consoled myself, to understand others more than I have the desire to be understood, to love more than I have the desire to be loved. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in forgiving that we are forgiven. Only by overcoming the ego, the big me, the self, we are born to eternal life. It's a brilliant rendition of that prayer. And I'm aware for a lot of us, we have been let down. Someone's let us down. We've been hurt. A relationship isn't as it used to be. And that's painful. And so what I thought it would be good to end with is just to pray for those situations. So whether you're in it, going through it, or have gone through it, this is a prayer for you. And if afterwards you want to come and sit and chat and pray, I'll make sure I'll turn my headphone things off. That'll be good. So perhaps we should close our eyes. I was going to be really funky and say, you know, stand if you think this is you, but I won't do that because that's really embarrassing, isn't it? But if this is for you, it's for you, and only you know that. Father God, we love you. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ as an example of someone who walked in love and sought peace, even the hardest of circumstances. God, we ask you to give us the eyes to see the other person in our relationships in the way that you see them. Give us the ability to forgive as you forgave. Lord God, help us to love in the same unconditional way that you do. In all our relationships, we pray, Lord, for your will to be done. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus, to be an example. But even more, we thank you that we are reconciled through you, Lord Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
And you are the voice of hope, the anchor of my soul. And where there seems to be no way, you make it possible. You are the Prince of Peace amidst adversity. My lips will shout for joy to you, the Most High. A lot of things Duncan was saying there, yeah, the words are coming out of Duncan's mouth. But that's what God says in his word. And these are almost non-negotiables to love us. Just as Jesus loved us. And first of all, we need to take that step. Because first of all, we need forgiveness so that we can forgive. And that takes bravery. That's because we have to do it. No one else can do it for us. Duncan's given us an opportunity to come and talk and pray with him this morning if we need help in that. But Jesus, we need to be forgiven so that we can forgive. And that takes repentance. So if God has said something to you this morning, then please act on it. If you want to be free, if you want to know the joy of God in your life, if you want to shout for joy, then only Jesus can set us free.